Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to a brand new Best Podcast in Baseball. Thrilled to be joined by Jordan Schusterman, senior writer at Yahoo Sports. We're going to, who knows where this conversation is going to go. I'm not even going to tease it because I don't even have any idea. So let's just strap in. We'll talk baseball for a while. Holidays are here. New Year is coming. And Dustin May has arrived as a Cardinal. Cue the music. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Podcast in Baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer. We were talking about titles before we had come. Should I use my like official title, St. Louis Post-Dispatch lead baseball writer? Derek Gould, joined this week by Jordan Schusterman, senior writer at Yahoo Sports, and you know him as the lowercase half of Sesame's Family Barbecue and host of the Baseball Barbie Cast. Jordan, it's thrilled. I'm thrilled to talk to you. We have great conversation every time I cross paths with you in the in a press box or winter meetings. Also admire the podcast from afar. So this is great.
Thank you so much for having me, Derek. This is a treat. I feel like, you know, I was in the Cincinnati area for a couple years, and I had, you know, being in the NL Central with you very briefly. I feel like we had some more run-ins. So not as often since I moved to the other side of Ohio. Now I'm in the AL Central, closer to Cleveland. But just got to see you at the winter meetings, and I'm so excited to do this. I realize that, like, I'm technically the guest, and, like, in theory, you have questions for me. I will try not to turn it on you because I have so many questions about the Cardinals, and the reality is, and I think I said this about the Cardinals at some point at the end of the season, I think they were the least relevant team of 2025. As far as what I do, as far as just like covering the national scope of something, the least memorable. And I know it's a terrible way to start. And I know there's Cardinals fans listening to this being like, oh my God, who's this guy just telling us that we're not relevant. But as far as just like impacting the season, you know, the big Major League Baseball season, they weren't that bad, and they weren't that good, and they were never that close to the postseason, and they made some trades, but not anything. They just kind of floated along, which, whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, you obviously covered it brilliantly. I read it along the way. But I say all that because they rarely gave us a reason that we had to talk about the Cardinals on our podcast, you know, a couple times a week. And so I haven't had the opportunity to, like, really dive into this team. But Jake Mintz and I, you know, my co-host, we do take pride in being able to talk about every team, and we find interest in every team. So there's no shortage of Cardinals topics that I'm excited to get into. And I guess I say it because they've been pent up, because I really have not had a platform to talk about the Cardinals over this past year when it's not involving, you know, trade rumors.
Yeah, no, I mean, the goal of this is to have a conversation. So hit me with your questions, because, you know, listeners might like to have that exchange. And I'm welcome for it. I think it's interesting place to start, because it's one that Cardinal fans, and to be candid, Cardinals media, kind of wrestle with, is like, what is their place in the current galaxy of baseball? You know, they still hold tight to their 11 World Series championships. They still can claim the crown as the most champions in the National League, and yet, you know, they're only a few years away or removed from having the MVP of the league and another MVP candidate and two guys who were in the midst of what seemed to be Hall of Fame careers, and yet, like, they're not really one that moves the needle. And it's fascinating how fast it happened. You know, it's like the Ernest Hemingway line, right? Like, I went broke slowly, then suddenly, right? The Cardinals, faded from relevance slowly, then suddenly.
Yeah. And the relevance is the thing. And I don't mean to if it sounds mean or cruel, like driving that point home, but that's the thing. It's where they've ended up, where it's just like, and obviously we can get into the big picture plan and where they're going and like Heimblum.
Sure, if you know and, let's go.
No, right. But, and that's fine. Like that is an interesting thing as we look forward, because I do think that they are at least now, heading in a purposeful direction, mm-hmm. with things to look forward to. There's at least more of that now. But these last 3 years, 2023 was different because it was such a sharp departure from the history of like an actually bad team, right? It's just it was so different. But these last 2 years, because the base of talent was still high enough to not really suck, because there's a level of competence and just kind of floor raising veteran talent that's been around, that the bottom is not completely falling out in a way that happens to, you know, a third of the league, where when things are not going as they plan, like it can get really bad. Like clearly the Cardinals were not that the last 2 years, but that also makes you even harder to talk about, because you're not the Rockies, you're not the White Sox, you're not the Marlins or the Pirates. And so, but because they also still feel so far away from feeling like a threat, and if it's not the trade deadline, right? What is drawing my attention? Because the other thing about this team is, and I thought about this with Sonny Gray trade recently, because you know, he's been good, but right. And now with Brendan Donovan, who was, you know, their lone all-star this past year, but who's on this team that I'm like, you know, when I'm bopping around on MLB TV on a Tuesday night, like, why am I choosing the Cardinals, you know, as a neutral fan, who am I like, oh, I got to tune in and watch so-and-so, because as good as Sonny Gray is, he hasn't really been that for a while, I would say. You know, maybe that's a little disrespectful, but certainly on the pitching side, outside of when Helsley was really doing it 2 years ago, he obviously was not quite at that level this past year. And then on the offensive side, it's just a lot of, you know, Victor Scott kind of gave you a little bit of buzz, in terms of a different, unique kind of talent. Mason Wynn certainly is capable of giving you some of those moments. But Brendan Donovan is like, he's just like really good at baseball, but he's not someone that you're changing the channel to go watch.
You're not tuning in to watch the left side of the infield play defense.
Well, obviously Arenado still gives you some of those moments, and I'm sure we'll talk about him. And Wynn does have some highlight plays, but certainly offensively. And then from a pitching side, there just hasn't been a lot of reason to even, you know, go out of your way and tune into the Cardinals.
It's a really interesting, like, situation they put themselves in for a long time. You know, I would talk about, like, one of the great things about covering the Cardinals is there's never a lack of interest in them, from the sense that, like, they're either really good — for a long time they were really good and really prominent and a contender — or if they were just mediocre, it was like they were terrible. So they didn't exist in that nebulous apathy world of, you know, 75 to 85 wins, and you know that other teams, they weren't going to be irrelevant in the middle. Now they've been there for so long, and one of the things that has happened is they are now looking to trade their stars. And you know, I think those two things coincide, and they put themselves a real risk of irrelevance in that regard. If you don't have stars, and you don't live at the extremes, and you also haven't appeared in the expanded playoffs for a while, what is your national reputation? What is your national footprint? And how fast can it fade? You know, I think that's really fascinating. I also think that that's a product of the expanded playoffs, right? There's so much attention on the playoff teams that, like, you know, we're talking about the Cardinals, but I think we probably could say this about a handful of other teams. I bet what they all share in common is they haven't been in the playoffs recently. Sure. They haven't, you know, been felled by the Dodgers.
Right. Well, or you are, as I mentioned, again, for all the wrong reasons,
you are
at the bottom in like a historic way.
Right.
Right. With Colorado and Chicago. Yeah. And not that that's reasons that you want
or the, to. Yeah. Or the Mets are like middling, but it was because they collapsed that.
Right.
Like,
oh my God. Yeah, oh, yeah. For sure. Right. If you're in the middle there, and you know, even some, I would also say that, like, the market size is another thing that can impact it. for better or for worse, right? Like the teams at the very bottom of that scale, whether it's like a Pittsburgh, you know, that they're in the discourse for a lot of the wrong Pittsburgh and Miami in the discourse for a lot of the wrong reasons. Whereas St. Louis, again, you're just kind of floating in the middle there because the payroll's just been the same. Now, I will say, I can imagine, and as we maybe turn the focus more to where they're at right now and where they're going, I can't imagine that Cardinals payroll discourse for as much as they're paying Dustin May, it's going to be lower than it's if we assume they are able to trade the guys that they're able to trade, and if we max out the trades of an Arenado and a Contreras and a Donovan and so on, and obviously Gray, obviously the big one. I assume this is going to be the lowest payroll they've had in quite some time. But
it could. Oh yeah, which, for decade, yeah, plus.
Yeah, and so that would, you know, because those are the things that grab the headlines, right? It's like, oh my God, Cardinals payroll sinks below 100 million, or Cardinals payroll lowest since whatever year. And again, I haven't looked at the exact math, so maybe I'm exaggerating, but that's the thing that I think is where you talk about it. And I also do think that like 2023 was the moment when everyone was like, oh my God, the Cardinals are just not perpetually good anymore.
Yeah,
and then since then, because they didn't continue to bottom out, because they've battled back to mediocre, they're just like, all right, well, I don't have anything more to say about them. It's not like they entered this deep rebuild where it was this dramatic change. No. But as we can talk about, you know, obviously the change in leadership, maybe there will be some dramatic changes, and maybe that is what we're watching right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to like, you notice when somebody is swimming fast and you know when somebody is floundering. You really don't care when they're treading water. And the Cardinals are treading water. That's what they're doing. They're just treading water.
They're treading.
Their head's above water. Okay, that looks good. Man, the Rockies, well, we better save them. Or, oh, man, those Dodgers, man, they might set a record. That's cool. They swim fast. You know,
it's, you know, let's, I actually want to go back to the point you said about like not being in the postseason or being in the postseason and what that means, right? Because with the expanded postseason, we've seen so many of these teams managed to sneak in for better or for worse, whether that is a Marlins, whether that is a Diamondbacks or a Royals or a Twins and so on, right?
Sure, the Reds, you know, this year.
The Reds, right. And I'm looking at longest playoff droughts, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the Cardinals, 3 years, that shouldn't feel like a huge deal. But, you know, there's not that many teams that have gone longer.
This is what I mean.
For example, like, let's think about the teams that have gone longer without being in the postseason. Okay, Angels, that's its own catastrophe. Obviously, that's the longest in the sport. Pirates, as we just mentioned, that is very much a payroll thing and just like the Pirates of the Pirates. Rockies, they're their own disaster, as we have come to learn over the past year, for sure. Nationals is an interesting one because they won the whole thing and then just everything went to hell, right? So okay, great. But they had the win. The last time they did it, they won. And so it's like, you still have that memory and what's that's been. The A's, that's their own. We know the A's.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the A's were also really good before it all went really bad. You know, they had a run.
Yeah. And they'll have played in three cities before they appear in the playoffs. So that, I mean, that counts for something.
And then the two other teams that have been gone longer without a postseason run, one is the White Sox, who, again, we mentioned that obviously got really bad really fast. And then the other team that I think is the only kind of comparison to the Cardinals right now is the Giants.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And I'm writing about the Giants this week, actually, because, and I know this isn't a Giants podcast, but like, man, like,
they could become one because of the manager, you know, St. Louis guy, Mizzou guy.
That's very true. I mean, I'm
just going to pivot into a Giants.
Plenty of Tony V thoughts, but, and obviously that's a pretty dramatic change that has gone over there leadership wise, but that's another team that of course won a lot. And then now is like the Cardinals stuck in the middle, but it's a lot more expensive stuck in the middle.
Like I said, in the intro, I had no idea where this was going, but you know where there's a comparison, right? And look, those are two teams that butted heads against each other multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they met each other in, you know, what, every other year in the NLCS. It was part of the Cardinals' four consecutive NLCS. At the time that they didn't get to the World Series was when they faced the Giants. The times they did was when they didn't face the Giants, when they took the odd numbered years off, so to speak. But you know what they all shared and maybe we all should have more appreciation for, even though there was a lot of appreciation at the time, Buster Posey and Yadier Molina. Like, what do 100%. Generational catchers do for the consistency of a year-to-year team? Now, they didn't do it alone, obviously, but both of those teams saw their change in stars. You know, Albert Pujols leaves after 2011 for the Cardinals. You know, the Giants went through, but the constant was a superb catcher.
Oh, yeah.
And when Yadier Molina leaves, the Cardinals, look at what happened to him. When Buster Posey stopped catching and kind of faded out there and left, what happened to the Giants? It's really
been irrelevant.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
They have been, now they've you know, gone to much more extreme lengths to avoid the mediocrity, and yet they've failed even more spectacularly. I mean, the degree to which they have, no matter what they do, are just back in. I mean, what is, they've won? Right. So they this is unbelievable, right? The 2021 is one of the most unbelievable outlier seasons in the history of the sport.
Oh yeah.
107 wins, just outrageous, right?
Yeah, with their platoon lineups.
With the right.
Everything right. went right.
With Darren Ruff and friends,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But since then, 81, Ruff, 79, 80, 81. I mean, that is with like a lot of turnover along the way, right? Like
yeah.
with some big names coming, big names going, and yet they just can't get out of the middle. Now the division is a part of that for sure.
Brutal, brutal division. With. Yeah.
But I'm the Rockies. Oh yeah, right. And even then, they couldn't beat up on the Rockies enough to get to, you know, 82 right. wins. I'm so glad you mentioned the catchers, because now not on Posey Molina levels, but I remember sitting in the. During the CS, at some point, I was sitting with Chelsea Janes, of course, one of the best in the biz. And I was like,
Washington Post.
Yes. And I was like, you know what? And I'm just such a sucker for catchers. Like I love catchers in every turn. That's why I'm on my StreamYard here. I gave myself number one Jimmy Crooks fan, because I love Jimmy Crooks. We can talk by the way, Cardinals catching situation could be its own podcast on its own. Like truly.
It will be. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is part of an off-season plan. If you want to come back for round two, we can do the catchers.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. But you look around and who were the four teams left? Kirk, Cal Raleigh, Will Smith, William Contreras. I mean, that's four of the six best catchers in the league, right?
Yeah, if you're making a list, you're talking about like franchise level cornerstone catchers,
like,
right?
What it does for your team.
Two of the highest paid, right?
To have your catcher be obviously a good hitter at all, but just like to have your catcher be one of your best players, I just don't think it's an accident. And I think that is a thing that obviously there are a lot of other teams that are trying to find that guy. And whether that is the whole reason why the Cardinals have come crumbling down or the Giants have come crumbling down, you know, we can discuss that. But I, you know, that's a weird preamble to just be like that. Yeah. The Giants and Cardinals are finding themselves. They've gotten here in very different ways. And I think they're also at very different junctures, because the conversation that we're going to have about the Cardinals and what they're doing this offseason and where they're going is very different than the one that I'm going to write about with the Giants, where like the pressure is seemingly still on for the Giants to like actually finally win something sooner rather than later. Like they can't keep pretending that they're just going through this transitional phase. I don't think Buster Posey got into this to keep finishing 500.
Yeah.
Now whether he's good enough at the job to avoid it, like that's kind of worthy of debating. But you know, I have to think that he had higher aspirations than where they've gone in his first season and where they project to go right now, where they've just done, they have enormous holes on their roster and they do not seem to be particularly aggressive in filling them. So, but let's keep it focused on the Cardinals.
Oh no, but I think that contrast is fascinating, because it's something that like I'm also like I wonder about with the Cardinals, right? You talk about that urgency to win that exists with the Giants, and it does seem like the opposite is developing here in St. Louis, in the sense that it's like, oh well, they're building something, you know, like there's this patience, even like, oh well, let's give Bloom a chance to do it. And you know, this past year, I mean, for as long as I've been in St. Louis, the dial has been cranked up to 11. Well, you know, past 11. Now it's like cranked up to 12. Like, when is that 12th championship going to come. Mm. And it's like, what? And I actually talked with some members of the Cardinals this past year, including the manager briefly about this. And I was like, you know, the way you cover the Cardinals, that I've always thought you cover the Cardinals, is what did you do today to win a championship or to win a pennant, to win a pennant in October? What did you do today to win the pennant in October? And that goes for the offseason. That goes for a game in August. That goes for a day in spring training. And I said, it's such a different lens to look at this team through. What did you do today that might make you kind of good in 2030? Like, how do you change the brand that much? How do you change the paradigm of an entire franchise that much and have it sit comfortably?
Yeah.
Like with a fan base going, yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. You know,
it's
fascinating.
It's a great question. And I do think that that word urgency is interesting because Bloom has used it.
He has.
In a very specific way that, again, I'm a Heim believer, and we can talk about, you know, where the plan and why we think it is a good or not plan. But I think that really just this past year is why it was really difficult, because yes, even before Bloom was technically leading the charge, you had a situation where it was like, okay, we're going to prioritize young players and mm-hmm. hopefully they will blossom into players that can help us win a championship in 2 or 3 years.
And they did.
It still felt like treading water and floating. It did not feel like a strong step in any sort of direction. Whereas at least now it feels a little bit more like that. Now, to your completely valid point.
Well, they're kicking back to the wall.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what happened. I mean, if we're going to continue the swimming, this is my wheelhouse, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Pool and swimming sure. metaphors. All right. No, now sure. we're into it.
But, yeah. but I guess I'm saying is like, yes, you're still going backwards, more yeah. backwards, which is what is.
Yeah, they're going back to the wall for a kickboard. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, that said, but it's a totally valid point, because it's like, how do you earn do you deserve the patience? Mm-hmm. But then the other question is, it's like, okay, yes, in theory, it's great to want to, you know, everything you do is thinking about how it's going to help us win a pennant.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, where the franchise was, where the roster was, where the player development was, where all these things were after they hit a weird rock bottom relatively 2 years ago.
Right.
Is it logical to continue to act like you have been the Cardinals the whole time? Or is it time to try something different? Is it time to hire a bunch of new coaches? Is it time to trade the stars that are aging and are clearly not good enough to make you good enough? And those are the tough decisions that are being had. Now, that doesn't stop. That doesn't make me blame any fans to be like, well, then screw you. I'm not coming to the games. I'm not going to pay for season tickets. I'm not. Absolutely. I don't, for sure. Because yeah. the product might not be as good. But if we are thinking about, if we do go back to how do we get back to competing for championships and where they were, maybe I sound like I'm, you know, speaking for little Bloom PR speak, but truly, like, I think where they were, you can still say that it's harder. And you're welcome to disagree. I'm curious where you're at, but where you was like the quickest path to that, doing that again in an actual realistic manner, is probably changing some stuff.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the Cardinals are in a spot where they're just having to, the Cardinals are finally going to get like pushed off the middle of the fence. And I don't know if that's happened, we'll know it in hindsight, or if there's something yet to happen that will do it. But, you know, to me, you know, the Cardinals talk about like respecting their history and going back to their roots and everything like that. But they also talk about how they're not in a position to contend. And it's like, well, wait a minute, that is your history.
Mm-hmm.
That is your roots.
Good point.
So you can't straddle the fence in that regard and say, we are going to honor the past and honor our history and the perpetual chase of championships here, but we're going to do it on time delay. Just give us a moment, you know. It's an interesting thing. And, you know, when they talk about going back to the roots, they're obviously talking about going back to, you know, the farm system, which the Cardinals were part of the creation of, obviously, Ranch Ricky. So they can really lean in the Wayback Machine to pull from that kind of that category of influence in baseball, which is fine. But I worry that like they have spent so long. I wrote an essay back in 2019 for Baseball Prospectus, you know, the like the season preview.
And I have it right behind me. I'm sure it's right. I have my team annual right behind me.
I think it was 19. And the lead of it is that the Cardinals have found themselves in the worst possible place to be in baseball. Neither a contender and neither a tanker. They are in the middle, and it's a muddle. And they
more true now than it was then.
Well, and they were, I mean, they were on the brink there then, you know, and they kind of fended it off. You think they get Paul Goldschmidt and then Nolan Arenado, and they fended it off a little bit. They get a great year, you know, in there from some folks that you didn't expect. And, you know, they just found their way. Schilt was, you know, a big part of that, obviously taking over. But they just were, you know, I've made the comparison on this podcast before. They were the tortoise on the fence post for so long. And I wonder if you can adequately ever get out of the middle if you don't say, look, we're not going to be the same Cardinals. Like, do you need to do that dramatic? You say, look, the laundry is going to stay the same, but the ethos here is going to totally change.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like that is literally what we're watching right now?
I wonder if in hindsight we will, because we're not hearing that.
Right. Because you can't, and especially when you mentioned like the connections to the farm system and how, look at all of our best players are homegrown and, you know, these are the guys that have carried us to these championships. And in theory, like that's what you're hoping is about to happen again with the Weatherholtz of the world and so on. Right. And maybe that'll be the case, but you know, right. Still, when you're talking about this stuff, why wouldn't you lean on it? Even if to your point, right. Like what fans want to hear, like well, it is interesting, right? Because I think that when we bring up some of the other examples of like the teams that really bottom out, what you say is, no, we are literally trying to change everything about what we're doing. Like that has to happen, you know, whether it is a Colorado, whether it is Washington. Now, Washington is another weird example of this, because it's like, because the last time they were succeeding, they literally won the whole thing. It took a while to accept that what they were doing was like really far behind. But
I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay.
But I think that that's an element that's clearly relevant for St. Louis as well.
I do
because they were succeeding for so long and they were so consistent for so long. Whereas the Nationals was a little bit different because the stars aligned and they won it all. And there was a lot that went into that, but it was less of a consistent, like this, these processes, this front office, this leadership, this vision definitively works with success year in and year out. Like kind of, obviously they did win a lot of games in that half decade leading up to 2019. But not in the same way we're at the Cardinals. You just had this huge track record of just like, this works. What we do works. We are never bad and we are often very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so to your point, like that's really what you're battling against. And clearly what it took to start to do some internal reflections and say, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to hire some more people, different people in the minor leagues. Maybe we need to move some people to the side, because you do wake up in 2023 and say, hold on a second. We don't have this steady pipeline. This steady pipeline is not producing the players that it once was. And we're still dealing with you still look at the roster now and you're dealing with some of the out of that, right? I mean, there's a lot of homegrown guys on this team right now where it's just like, oh, wow. Do I want to start naming names? I could, you know, but if some of these players were better or were what we thought they were going to be because they were Cardinals, then maybe we wouldn't be in the situation, but that's not the case.
Yeah. I think there's a rolling element to the Cardinals that like, okay, what do they learn from past mistakes? And you know, that 2023 team, the mistake was relying on homegrown pitching and not supplementing it with free agency. Had they made a costly move to add a starting pitcher or to take a risk on a starting pitcher, that's a different season. But they said, we've been good at producing young pitching. We'll continue to be good at producing young pitching. And right about the time that young pitching from the 2017 draft, just as an example, would have been arriving, they didn't have a 2017 pick. You know, they lost it for the hacking scandal. So you can kind of see how this rolling element takes place. And at the same time, how they were developing pitchers, was falling was becoming outdated. What they were looking for in pitcher profiles was safe and predictable and conservative and exactly what they wanted, and they knew what they earned. At the meantime, these other teams were moving past them in pitching development, moving past them in staffing. The Cardinals were reducing staff. They never really replaced some of the roles that they lost. They were just being outflanked in both, you know, staff sizes, staff innovation, tech, and development infrastructure. And so now they've spent the last year and a half really catching up, and they've done a good job. But I'm wondering if you're about to see history repeat itself, where the Cardinals are now, they got a really good development structure in place, and it will produce players just in time to also be 3 years behind.
Yeah,
like well, the Cardinals are catching up while other teams are moving ahead.
Yeah.
So are they gonna build a really good team to contend in 2026? It just arrives in 2029 when there's a new CBA structure. When there's a new, like, that's what I wonder, because the track record right now is you can be a homegrown team, especially in the region that we're at, you know, not necessarily the time zone, but say the Midwest region, the larger Midwest region, you can be a homegrown team in this region and reach the playoffs, but you can't win a pennant without a free agent. You cannot, right?
Or
what team has, or some big star.
Well, yes. And, or I should say, what we're talking about. I mean, I refer to it as just like, who am I changing the MLB TV over to watch them? But it's like, who is the player that is like, is it whether it's a Vlad Jr.? We know the Dodgers have both developed and bought
many of these,
right?
Yeah.
Yankees, absolutely. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Mariners, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are homegrown, you know, whether it is a Cal Raleigh, a Julio Rodriguez, stuff like that. The Cardinals,
the entire pitching staff.
The other version is like, okay, you just mentioned, okay, you can win, you can get to the postseason. You know what else you can do? You can have the best record in baseball.
You can.
What did that do for Milwaukee?
Yeah,
like
that's exactly
like,
right.
Milwaukee has essentially successfully done, okay, we are the best at producing two WAR players.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
10 guys, you know, get their rookie bonuses. That's one of the more wild things of this past year, was the Brewers were so good, and oh yeah, they're young.
Yeah, exactly. We have like 7 guys getting rookie of the year votes, you know.
Yeah.
But but who is, since Christian Yelich descended to being merely very good and not MVP candidate, it's just a lot of good players. Now maybe Churio becomes that, and he's the one that, you know, could. But it, you gotta have, and I bring that up because you can still look at the Cardinals even after they maybe trade Donovan and Contreras, and you can still see a good number of players where it's like, yeah, that guy's pretty good. That guy could be pretty good. We're gonna need more than that.
Like, yeah,
you know, you might be able to assemble enough of those. And by the way, this is even more true on the mound, especially once you get to the postseason, right?
But absolutely,
you can assemble, and that's where the Cardinals are. Like, they have so much to prove on that side. I mean, they would. That's what's been lacking, as you just kind of laid out. And so, that's the question, and that's where, when you do start looking at how they've drafted, at the kinds of players that they've started to acquire, you have to think about it through those lens of chasing a little bit more upside. I think that the Sonny Gray trade was a hilarious version of that, because you had, oh, this is what every Cardinals pitcher has looked like ever in Richard Fitz. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon Clark. And it's like, whoa,
right.
Okay. That is a different kind of swing.
That,
you know?
That is not a Cardinal. Yeah.
That is not a Cardinal.
It's straight out of Central Casting. Didn't I know you by Dakota Hudson? Hey, weren't you?
I've seen this.
It's a Simpsons reference. You may know me as Lance Lynn. You may remember me from the few years of Dakota Hudson.
It's like, I watched this.
I am Richard Fitz. Yeah,
I've watched this. You know, and again, there's a spot for Richard Fitz to be
very true
part of your team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just can't have 5 of them. That's not going to be good enough.
No, you cannot. Not
and
in
so.
Game.
And Dustin May is a whole other version of this, right?
So let's talk about that. Like, all right, yeah. So they add Justin May, or Dustin May, sorry. They add Dustin May, and, you know, he's officially in, $12 million salary, you know, 12.5 guarantee, huge mutual option, $20 million. Chances of that being a factor are minimal. For both sides don't want it to be a thing. So it exists, but neither side wants that to be, you know, pitches well, they trade him. What's your feel on this? What, I mean, lively arm undone by injuries galore over the last 5 years.
And yet, you know, still 28, right?
Youngest
28,
youngest free agent starter with major league experience on the market.
Yep. So I have to imagine that is why he was able to get that much money.
It is exactly why. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and also the short term. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah,
of course.
Every time you do a short term, you got to pump it up.
Right. And I have to imagine Dustin May's priorities. And by the way, like the starting pitching market, while it has not really started to move yet, I mean, these are some hefty prices.
Yeah,
right? Like, we can move Dylan Cease to the side, but like Adrian Hauser getting that much money, man. Like, what? Okay. Like, we haven't even seen, like, you know what? Like, maybe Zach Gallen will get $100 million. Like, I don't know, man. Like,
I wouldn't put it past him. Like,
so
when Hauser gets that much, I looked at the beginning of the year, I was asking around and everything like that. And it was like, oh, Hauser be a good get for the Cardinals. You know, like a guy pretty high dollar for 1 year, but you count on only paying 2/3 of it because you're flipping him if he's any good. And, you know, nope, that's not the case. That's
Merrill Kelly? Merrill Kelly getting $20 million for 2 years at age 37? Like,
at a hometown discount.
Oh my goodness. So that is, anyway, so that is, you know, that's important
fun.
Context.
Good time.
For any cost analysis here. But I think if you go back to what I was saying about, like, what does Dustin May want? The dude wants to know that he's not competing for a rotation spot.
Exactly. And that's what the Cardinals put off.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that at his point in his career, he's trying to prove, I would imagine that Mike Soroka, a similar thing. I think he basically said that on an interview recently. He said Diamondbacks for a little bit less after.
Yeah. He wants to be a starter.
Yeah.
As opposed to a swing man. Yeah.
Right. And so Arizona could offer him that in a way that maybe other teams couldn't, even if they would maybe pay him more. And I mean, Dustin May's a weird one because on one hand, you watch the stuff and it's still good, but you also have to acknowledge that it's not what it was. And so, and obviously, and maybe that's an obvious thing to say, but those like two ticks of velo, even though he's still technically throwing pretty hard, it's clearly made an enormous difference in his effectiveness, as funky as he is and how, you know, good the sweeper still can be. Now, all that said, I like this. I said this on our podcast, like, this is the kind of shot you should kind of go for. And it's not even as much about like, can the Cardinals now take an unusual ball of clay that they're used to using, and really turn it into something that's valuable, whether that's for them or whether that's for another team.
Well, that's part of this whole paradigm shift too, is it's because it's not for them. Like, they're not trying to find the Ryan Ludwig of pitchers who they bring in, let him win some playing time, and he becomes an all-star because he just was undone by injury. They're not trying to find that. They're trying to find the player who they flip. You know, I mean,
it's
fascinating.
They're going to do at least one more of this exact same kind of guy. I don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They want to. So this is the payroll thing that you were talking about like, it's right now. And I know, like, it's something that we'll talk about, the payroll. But at the moment, like, projecting where it's going to be is, I don't know, it's kind of misleading to me because they still want to add that veteran starter.
Sure.
And at so at least one. Yeah. And a reliever. And the price point of those two kind of additions
will push it back up.
Yeah, you're talking about, what, $30 million, right?
Yeah, so if you're adding two pitchers, as we just said.
I mean, how it's not going to be 15-15, but however it gets there, you know, and like, they're going to be short-term deals, so they're going to have to pay higher, and they're willing to do so. So That's the thing about the pay. It's going to be lower. It's going to be lower than they've seen. They want it to be lower because they want to, you know, move off some of the higher contracts, obviously. But you know, exactly where it fits. They want to add a starter who does things like Miles Michaelis, but is younger, you know, like can be the given guy every 5 days. And they would like to add a reliever who is veteran, and they've had good success with that in Andrew Kittredge 1 year, Phil Maton the next. You know, is it Tyler Kinley this year? We'll see. You know, mm-hmm. Could it be a lefty when they trade JoJo Romero, which I'm surprised hasn't
Sean
happened
Newcomb.
Yet.
I like Sean Newcomb. Yeah,
Sean Newcomb is a good fit. It'd be a great fit for them. You know, exactly right where they want to be, and that of course would then increase their thing. But it's just such a barter era. You know,
totally.
So what do we get today that we can move for something later? You know, it's such a weird approach when it used to be so linear. Like, who do you get today that is going to help you win the division, win a pennant tomorrow? Now it's like, who do you sign today that you can flip for the depth that you're going to use for when you decide to contend later?
Right. No, it's a very different conversation. I'm just looking at who else could be. I mean, the one, if you think Dustin May is high level of difficulty is a weird way to say it, but the name that really screams like this is Germán Márquez. I mean, this is one
that hasn't really, I know that's been kicked around. You're right. It does.
I mean, that's just the one
really
that is easy,
moved. You don't get much
throw out just it because is. He is not going to cost any more than
he's
what
not.
Does. There's no way. I mean, he's coming off like a truly like catastrophically bad season. But if you want to just buy low on the Rockies pitcher who used to be pretty nasty.
I kept expecting them to trade for Freeland, to be honest. It's like, go get that guy. If you're going to do a Rockies pitcher.
Rockies for life. We can't get Kyle Freeland out of Denver.
He needs to be rescued.
He's well. That's the, you could
and really, to be honest, that's part of the Cardinals' brand is to go rescue the Rocky. They tried that's with true. Matt Holliday. They did with that's Nolan Arenado. So,
but see, you know, again, though, Freeland.
If they want to be true to their history, they need to rescue a Rocky.
And I think Márquez could be a good version of that. I know he's technically already a free agent, but to give Márquez like again, it's like.
There hasn't been a whole lot of heat there, but we'll see.
No, I'm not certainly not me doing any reporting. I'm just, if we're going to the theme of like upside that not another good team is going to try and give a rotation spot, that's like a pretty extreme version of that. But
absolutely. Washington Nationals should be all over that.
No doubt. Yeah. But I do think that, yes, when we're talking about offseason moves, yes, that is a very different kind of tone and like what we're talking about. But I mean, if we could focus on the players that are going to still be there, like you still have to wonder, okay, of the players that we do have, and we're about to give more playing time to, because we are going to trade Brendan Donovan, because we're going to do blah, blah, blah. It's which of those guys are we actually still believing in? I mean, that's to me, that is as interesting as any of this.
Totally agree. Great question.
Now, obviously the big potential Donovan trade and obviously Arenado, we're not expecting to be some big prospect haul, but Contreras maybe, like those are important because they could be getting pieces that could play right away and so on and so on. But because I'm not expecting any of their free agent moves to you know, wow me, I just have to look at the roster and be like, okay, like is Matthew Liberatore a pitcher that they think can elevate to be in their rotation in 2 years, or is he just kind of a placeholder? Is there another level for him, right? Mm-hmm. Are we completely moving past Gorman and Jordan Walker? Like, are we just saying, you know what? It just didn't. Okay. Right. So
they're not. Yeah,
that's fine. So, and then
they are doubling down on Jordan Walker for sure. It's your,
okay. It feels like, and I assume that it was more Walker than Gorman, and Gorman is more of like, you know, but then, and then again, the catchers, I kind of, but like, what is Ivan Herrera, right? Is he, you have these three, I don't totally understand why Pozo needed to come back. I know Pajes and Pozo, you have this, okay, they're going to catch, but like Crooks is clearly ready to be a defender in the majors.
Pozo maybe in AAA, just to be clear. I mean, you could still have Crooks and Pajes in the majors. And, you know, Pozo won a lot of fans. You know, they wanted to keep him in part to give him some stability, you know, on the professional and personal side. Sure. You know, with his family and everything like that. So there was a lot of reasons, and they let him become a free agent so they could rework the minor league level mm-hmm. of his contract. Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't kind of required. It wasn't fixed by the CBA. They could rework that. And clearly that's partially because, look, you know, you may be in AAA, right.
Yeah.
And they can be the veteran experienced guy there with Leonardo Bernal, which mm-hmm. would make a lot of sense, especially when you start also looking at some of the pitchers who are there. Pozo has earned trust of coaches, and he's well-liked in the clubhouse, which fits, you know, that. And then he can come back and forth because he's got the options to do so. So that it doesn't disrupt the possibility, number one Jimmy Crooks fan.
That's me.
It doesn't disrupt the possibility of him being the left-handed compliment.
That's good to hear. Yeah. But I do bring that up.
He could go anywhere with Herrera, right? He could be a 60-game catcher, 80-game catcher, zero-game catcher,
right.
All-time DH.
He's got to be healthy anyway. So
yeah, all that
got to stay on the field. But
yep.
I bring that up partially because of what we were just talking about before. Is like knowing who your catcher is going to be.
So
is a pretty big deal. And yes, maybe some teams end up in a situation, it's really only Atlanta, where it's like, all right, we got two really good catchers, you know?
Yeah.
But that's its own.
I love how they happened into it.
Yeah. Now, in that's also a situation because it's like, I mean,
I had three really good catchers.
That's true. That's wild. True. And I, Drake Baldwin, like I've been a believer in him in a long time.
Yeah.
And Sean Murphy now maybe is just like declining really fast anyway.
Yeah.
But whatever. The big point is knowing who your catcher is. I say it all the time. It's one of the, I just repeat it at every juncture going into any season. Said this before, like this is part of what has completely torpedoed the Nationals mm-hmm. in a lot of respects is just how mm-hmm. bad their catching situation has been, because it is impacting your pitching staff. It is impacting your line of construction. It is impact like so many things. So the Cardinals have no shortage of options, both at the major league level, and we know they have some other really exciting guys coming, like Bernal, like Rodriguez, and so on. And mm-hmm. don't sleep on my guy Ryan Campos. All right, there might be a spot for him someday.
Well, yeah. So I'm glad you brought up Ryan Campos because I want to read a text message that I got from you. That is all right. I hope it's okay that I read this, but here it is.
Please.
This is the year of Ichan Henderson. All right, so let's talk about that, because you are hitting on like a really great question. About like who is the next, if the Cardinals are saying they're going to build the next contending core, mm-hmm. the question is like, well, who's going to be part of that core? Let's dial that up a little bit. Who has to be part of that? Who currently in the organization has to be part of that? We could even do this draft style. I pick number one, JJ Weatherholt, but
JJ Weatherholt's number one.
He's got to be part of this next one.
And I could not be more in on this guy. Yeah. Like I'm still honestly, like I'm still angry that he was not in the major leagues in September, even though it did not actually matter. he's awesome. So now I will say I am so confident that he will be a good major league player.
You should probably, what's one step past good?
Okay.
Good seems conservative.
But I will say that like,
his impactful profile is slightly better than good. Is impactful.
His profile is, I'm like so confident, not worried about it at all. But is it great? Is he a 7-win player? Now, if he's, you know, that's again, we're getting back to the conversation we had earlier, right? I don't know. That's going to depend on how his defense projects. That's going to depend on how much he's stealing bases, which has been very much kind of up and down during his career. Mm-hmm. What he is as a defender, whatever. Obviously, I believe in the bat. But he's, yes, for drafting guys that are that important. But yeah, if we are looking below the majors, you know, Ichan Henderson is a fun one just because, you know, this is big news here. Would be the first Ichan in major league history.
Really? All right.
Yeah, I haven't had a ton of those.
Just because it's an audio format here, Ichan is how you pronounce IXAN. I know that recognize the name from the box scores and the stats from AA Springfield.
Yes. When I have
part
a very
of the Texas League champ, but that's how you pronounce his name.
And I have a very vivid memory when he was, you know, kind of coming on at Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing what he was doing, and I was like, what is this name? What is that? And I had to like track down. It's not like he's pitching on SEC Network. So I was like, how am I going to find how is? And I found some local news story from like him in high school.
Oh, really?
Was deciding whether to go to school. Where is? And it was like Eshaun. I was like, Eshaun. All right. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, this is a lot on Eshaun Henderson. But I will say that like the pitchers, that's almost a more, because there's more of them that you could look at and kind of imagine like, oh, man, if this clicks. Mm-hmm. If Quinn Matthews gets back on track, he's very important. Yeah. If
which signs I he mean, did, there's some, I mean, to be fair, there's signs he did.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Tank, I mean, Tank is a very, you know, volatile prospect for sure. Mm-hmm. Tank Hentz, right? Like,
sure,
you can see the upside. Liam Doyle, clearly, you know, it would not be shocking if he fast tracks his way and is an exciting pitcher. Like Liam Doyle, one of the great things we have in sports is just like the starting pitcher debut.
Yeah.
And like that could be one that people are like, hey, Liam Doyle, you know, it
could be an event.
August 12th, Liam Doyle's making his debut. Like, you got to tune in. Like,
yeah,
that is totally possible.
He's got a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be he has the potential to be like just different than what the Cardinals have put on the stage before.
That's,
and if he gets performance and velocity,
yep,
it'll be like the closer starting a
yes
game. That's what it's going to be like.
Correct. And it again, will be just an event. Velocity on its own,
yeah,
for a Cardinal starting pitcher is just like, we haven't done this. You know?
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, it has the potential to be, you know, the entry for him will be closer-esque. And it should be if he connects performance with everything else that he has.
He is he's way high on the list of like who has to be a part of that next group. Because if you're just looking at ceiling,
yeah,
you're talking about him, you're picking him before JJ, if we're being honest, you know, if we're just going like overall,
really?
I believe in JJ more. I think he's way more likely to get there. But wow. Again, I sound like I'm underselling JJ Weatherholt. So like I don't know. Maybe I'm like,
no, that's
30
great
homers. Like, that'd be awesome. Maybe yeah, he can. Oh. You know, but maybe he is like a Lindor type. And the game power is, I could totally see that where like Weatherholt's game power is more impressive than his raw power, right?
And right. That's what the homers description is. You compare him to Dustin Pedroia, and,
yes,
and a lot of times folks will go, well, he'll hit for more power. And I was absolutely like, man, Dustin kind of hit for pretty good power. Like,
yeah, but, no, for sure.
But he only had 1 year of 20 home runs, and I think that's where that's coming from.
And so, but I mean, Doyle, again, we're talking about like,
yep,
and dude hasn't even, I mean, has he thrown a single pro pitch yet? Maybe
he
one
has. Yeah, yeah. He did the classic cameo appearance in a Class A game. And then he was on the ride for the Texas League. He didn't pitch in it, but they put him. They did a classic Cardinal thing, which it's good to see them do. They move guys around to the playoff experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't have any dramatic moves this year, but there was a time, and this goes back to even Albert Pujols, and I'm sure before then, but like Pujols went from single A to triple A so he could be in the playoffs, and mm-hmm, they used to move guys around. There was even I hope I remember this correct, there's even a demotion at one point in time, like go experience the playoffs. And this was like a thing that they would do with some, it was sometimes in before there was the hyper coverage of the minor leagues, right? It was something that like, oh, you took note of because like they think this guy is somebody, like, mm-hmm, you know, maybe they thought he could win a matchup or he'd be a nice fit off the bench. No, AAA was looking for a right-handed bat who crushed lefties. They identified Pujols pretty early on, but the team, you know, that moves a guy to the Cardinals team that moves a guy to a playoff team, you kind of go, oh, they think something of him.
Yeah.
You know, they want him to get that experience. Yeah. And it was interesting because it was a bit of a callback for them to then move Doyle. He didn't pitch again, but he got to be a part of that.
Yeah. Now in that case, it's a little bit less of a like, oh, they think highly of Doyle. It's like, yeah, duh. They just picked him in the first round.
Okay. They just gave him the biggest bonus ever in club history. I think they're pretty good with it. But it still was, yeah.
Yeah, no, it can mean something, but I
who
think
who else has to be in this? Like, I mean, are we talking about Josh Baez? Does Josh Baez have to be part of it?
If you're looking at that is what is hard, is
Does Renel Rodriguez, is that how far it goes? Do you need a Bernal to be part of it? I mean, it's
Rodriguez is tough to ignore because of the position he plays, as far away as he is.
And the bat. But, the bat is thunderous.
Oh, yeah. But again, if you're talking about just like offensive upside and you're looking in the minors, like Baez has clearly gotten back on track in an exciting way. But I mean, he's not suddenly, you know, someone that you're counting on, even if it's someone now it's someone that you can at least envision like being on the major league team in the next couple of years, which is exciting. And there were points where it was like, this is not going to happen. So in that sense, that's clearly a positive step. But like you default to the guys you've drafted high. And it's like, well, what is Chase Davis right now? You know, is he relevant in this at all? Or why do I think he's more important than some of the guys that are already up in the majors? Like, what are the chances that Chase Davis is going to be any better than Alec Burleson? I know it's a weird comparison, but it's just like we have to think higher than what they have, right? We have to think about what is going to be better than what is already there, even if that is in 2 or 3 years. And identifying those players, it's easier to that you can talk yourself into more of the pitchers right now, which is interesting. And I think that speaks to some of the stuff that they've done. Obviously, acquiring someone like Brandon Clarke, drafting someone like Liam Doyle, you know, in Matt Pierpont, we trust, right? We get some stuff ticking up with the Mountains and the Pete Hansons of the world. And I mean, honestly, we talk about Doyle, his college teammate throws pretty hard too. Tanner Franklin, like that's another arm we're going to have to watch.
Right. I was going to ask, that was sort of where I was going to ask you to kind of close it out was to what's a name that you wouldn't be surprised if they were part of this next core? And you just took mine. I was going to say Tanner Franklin.
Yeah, no, Franklin. I mean, you can talk about him.
I mean, I would not be shocked if Tanner Franklin 12 months from now is the highest rated prospect they have or highest rated pitching prospect. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
If that is because he has the ingredients to be that. And like that's
and
where
also Doyle's in the majors.
Doyle's in the majors. And you look at again, teams that are good at this kind of stuff, it's not always the guy they took fifth overall, right? It's like, oh my God, Brian Wu. Or, oh my God, Nolan McLean. You know?
Dustin May. I mean, Dustin May was first round pick.
Yeah, and I bring up the other two examples because it's like,
because they've had success. Yep. Yep.
Well, but also the college great guys that are more advanced, that have maybe are more physically ready to take on a pro workload and just need the right tweaks, need the right pitch shape, just a little bit of adjustment. Maybe they have something special and they aren't quite using it yet. That's where you're going to start to see. That's what Seattle's done so well. That's what the Mets have started to do really well. Like, that's where you'll start to see if a team like St. Louis is moving in the right direction, the Tanner Franklins of the world, Nate Dome. I guess that was a trade, but I'm trying to think of other guys that they just pitchers that they
know.
Peyton Graham. I know I think he was injured, but some of those pitchers, if you start to see them start to take huge leaps as they get into pro ball.
Yeah. Bryson Matz took a huge leap.
That's the exciting stuff. And that's what's going to kind of define it, because that's what's been so lagging so far behind St. Louis, as we kind of covered earlier. And we'll see what they're able to add, you know, in this upcoming draft. And this is another one that's farther away, but like, I love Brian Mitchell. I mean, I really like that pick. Yeah. I know his defensive fit is kind of questionable, but as a hitter, that's definitely a hitter to be excited about. Yeah. So
Ryan Mitchell and Yaro Padilla. I mean, you look at those
Padilla,
two guys.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So you have two young guys who look different than some of the other young players that the Cardinals have taken in drafts that you wonder where they fit. Those two have, you know, they have higher profiles. But do we get to all your questions?
Well, I mean, again, like, I guess this is a weird one to finish on, but like Burleson is actually one I want to finish on. Okay. And the reason I bring that up is because he's someone that has floated into trade rumors as well. Mm-hmm. You can dispute those or not. Because it's like, all right, when we're talking about these timelines, when we're talking about, okay, when are we going to be good again? Who do we need to hang on to that's going to be a part of the next good team? If we stay focused on the major league roster right now, and as we just talked about, which of those guys do we feel like they will be on the next good Cardinals team?
Herrera.
I see Herrera. I see Mason Wynn. I see probably Victor Scott in some form, maybe, hopefully.
Sure. I don't know.
Yep, this probably a role for him. And then Burleson is like the line, because it's like he's got 3 years and not two, mm-hmm. right? Instead of Donovan.
Correct.
He is not old. I guess he's a little bit older than you know, the Wins and the Herreras. This isn't me just asking you if he's going to get traded, but it's like, is he under is he both good enough and under contract for long enough to be considered, we're not moving off of this guy? Walker and Gorman, I'm putting in their own category, because they have to actually prove that they're good major leaguers in a way that Burleson, I think, has already done that. Mm-hmm. But Burleson, like a trade of Burleson would really signal that this is a much longer term.
That's exactly. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. That's the answer. You know, the Cardinals are not eager to move him. You know, there's the inevitable overtures and phone calls. Same with like Lars Nootbaar, right?
Right. But Nootbaar's only 2 years though, right?
He's only two years, but he's coming back from injury. But you're exactly right. That is exactly how I would frame it, and I have tried to, is the notion that if they trade Alec Burleson, that is a flare into the sky that this is going to be a longer rebuild, and that Alec Burleson's place in the core of the next contender is really set by outside factors, meaning how quickly do they build it to get to that point. You know, he can play the right positions to play regularly. He can, you know, if Herrera is behind the plate, Burleson can be the DH. If Contreras is with Boston or some other team, he can be first base. You know, if the Cardinals move their outfield around, he can be left field. I mean, they can find an everyday role for him, but whether they find a future for him is really dependent on how quickly they get others to catch up with him. I think, you know, that's one of the big takeaways from this past year, is that the Cardinals going into it and their runway year and trying to give everybody that playing time, the outcome not discussed, because who wants to, but the outcome not discussed is, what if they don't get the performance that a runway allows? At what point in time do you have to go, well, more runway versus, well, we did, and we got the answer that we didn't want, but that is still an answer. And with Burleson, they got the performance, they got the thing, but they didn't get it from others. And now they're in a spot where, okay, Burleson's just on the outer edge of this young core that they want. And so if they can accelerate that younger core, he can be a part of it. He'd be a good fit for it. He'd be a welcome fit for it. And if they go, gosh, this could take a little bit longer, the trading him would send that signal. And I mean that trading him now. I also mean that trading him next year. Though it would be more apparent because we have more data. Right. Yeah. Like if this year, if they continue to idle like some of these prospects and they go, well, we got to move on from them, we can't move forward with them, trading them would signal same thing next year too.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that is another one of the big kind of existential questions in baseball that I grapple with and watch up close in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Which is just, how long do you give the kids a chance? You know, how many at bats do you need to see before you decide to move on to the next wave? And Cleveland's just holding on and on and on to the Gabriel Arias and Rocchio and Angel Martinez and John Kenzie Noel, you know, sadly got DFA'd this week.
But like, it just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, whether it's Walker, whether it's Gorman, whether it's, you know, Sejacy at some point, you know, some of the other guys that we're going to start to see get major, whether it's Cesar Prieto is another name I'm interested to see what like, how much run do you give those players to find out? And that is not always the most fun thing to watch. Now, when it goes well, you're like, oh, this is awesome. I'm watching kids figure out how to be good major leaguers. But when it doesn't, it's tough.
Yeah, when it doesn't, you're like, what did we just do?
And what did we just do?
Starts to sting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of versions of that. So that's the other big question that the Cardinals are going to face, and it's only going to be more so if they actually do trade Donovan.
Absolutely.
Arenado, because my goodness, so there are going to be a lot of at-bats to give out to these players for better or for worse. And maybe that does lead to the Jordan Walker breakout. You know, maybe that does lead to Cesar Prieto being, you know, hitting 300 in the majors and being your one of your core infielders with Weatherholt and Wynn. Like,
well, thought you were going to go the other direction there. I thought they're only bringing in more young guys to try to carve out more time.
Well, but that's exactly, and that's
what they want to do.
And why I mentioned Sejacy, right? Like, you trade for him, and now he's already at the higher levels, and now we got to fold in at bats for him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a great point because, yeah, what about all the guys that they're about to trade for? You know, now if I would assume the priority is pitching, it's a little bit easier to find the innings to work that absolutely. In. But if you start acquiring a bunch more upper level hitters, like, not saying it's a bad idea because those might be good players, but it's like now you have even more guys to kind of shuffle through, which is kind of a weird note to end on. But
no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll give you one other guy.
Yeah, please.
That could be part of the core that should not be overlooked, even though
we have not said his name yet.
We have not said his name. And he may not throw a pitch.
Oh, it's a pitcher
in 2026.
Did he like just have surgery?
Tekoa Robey.
Oh yeah. This is a good one. That's he's one where it's like you talk to the right people and they're like, he's the guy. Like,
all right. You talk to folks who saw him in spring training as he kind of took a stride and looked like, you know.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And people were like, oh, this is the best fastball in the in camp. And not only that, this is not a fastball you see often in Cardinal camp. And there was a real sort of electricity about, like, all right, what can he do now? He's got to come back from surgery, you know, we'll see what he's like.
TJ or was it a different surgery?
TJ, Tommy John.
So he got it when it was
mid-season all-star break.
Mid-season. Okay, so yeah and
still,
man,
super young, still has a whole lot of career ahead of him, you know.
That's one where
he's not gonna lose that feel for the fastball, but it's just like, what health does it come back? So but he's one good. That, like, if he's part of that next core, it might happen sooner, and it might be pretty good pitching-wise.
He's going to be still on prospect lists in 2027.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, like 2020 draft, you know. You're a high school pick. That's a long time ago, and, you know, he'll have some
prospect. Don't get fatigued, though.
I've heard similarly positive things.
Maybe that's where we're at. Maybe that it's, you know, we talk about prospect fatigue. Maybe that's where baseball, to bring it all back around to what you were saying at the beginning, maybe there's Cardinals fatigue, and that's why they're just not.
You know. I think, hey, if anyone will have earned that fatigue, I mean, they did.
They did earn it.
It's kind of what you get if you're in the postseason every year.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Yankee hatred and there's Cardinal fatigue. Like that's how it breaks. Like,
what would you rather aspire to kind of, you know, elicit from opposing fan bases or even neutral observers?
Just exhaustion.
I do think that, right, at the very least, if you're listening to this, you're going to be like, man, that wasn't particularly inspiring. Not really optimistic. I can imagine, as you just mentioned, Robey, if you're like someone that goes to Cardinal spring training, there will be some pitchers where you're like, oh boy, like you're going to watch some bullpens next year and you will be excited. Now watch out if you're, you know, if you're behind there for Brandon Clark, make sure you have some protection. But I do think we're gonna see some interesting arms.
And there'll be three young hitters in spring training that will turn heads.
Yeah.
Rodriguez, Baez, and Weatherholt. Yeah. You see those three guys.
And let me also just say, if it sounded at any point like I was doubting JJ Weatherholt's
star power, I
just want to make sure the listener understands. I love that dude. That guy, and like, that's as a player, and he's an awesome kid. Like, talked to him at the combine, talking to the futures game. Like, he is terrific, and I think Cardinals fans are going to love him. I can't wait to watch him. He would be my pick for rookie of the year right now, without even looking at it. So let's just finish on that. JJ Weatherholt's going to be awesome.
That is Jordan Schusterman, senior writer at Yahoo Sports. part of the Cespedes family barbecue group, the lowercase half of it, I read.
Yeah,
I didn't even ask what the origin was of that. And the host of Baseball Barbiecast, which you can find wherever you get your podcast. Well, I think we solved everything. I think we just absolutely...
We've done it.
We've nailed it.
Someone had to do it. and that was us. Yes, the lowercase is simple. I'll just tell you, for those wondering. It just means that when Jake and I tweet from at Cespedes BBQ, if it's lowercase, it's me. And if it's uppercase, it's him.
Oh, there you go.
If you've ever wondered, hey, who's tweeting?
Was that a coin flip?
No, it's like just like a stylistic preference.
You're the Cummings of Cespedes Family Barbecue.
what a hilarious comp. Yes.
You can find Jordan's work, including the article he's working on about the San Francisco Giants, at Yahoo Sports. You can also find his podcast, Baseball Barbiecast, anywhere you get your podcast, which included all the places you get the best podcast in baseball. Best podcast in baseball is part of the Constant Cardinals coverage at STLtoday.com, which you can also find in the pages of the Post-Dispatch. The podcast is brought to you weekly by Closets by Design of St. Louis. The best podcast in baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design every week, and we'll be back to you next week. Happy holidays to all. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Derek. This was very fun. I really appreciate it.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.